This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So The Black Godfather is about Clarence Avant, a name that you should know but you don't know. He is linked to the careers of many famous musicians, from Snoop Dogg going back to Quincy Jones and everybody in the middle.
Every time I thought, okay, it's kind of wrapping up, then it would suddenly be like, and also Snoop Dogg and Jay-Z and Notorious B.I.G. and, like, you know, the big hip-hop world of the 90s.
I'm all about hidden stories and people you don't know about. The Black Godfather, Clarence Avant, is up there with the best of them, and I think it's, we should know about him, and it's a great watch.
Hello film fans, thanks for joining us today. In the remote FlixWatcher studio we have Karen.
Hello.
Lizzie.
Hi.
And as always, Kobe.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about The Black Godfather. Thank you, as always, to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello film fans, joining us today we have Karen and Lizzie. If you could please say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Yes, so I'm Lissy Simpson. I mostly work with scripts. I just left the BBC and I'm just about to go back to the BBC, both time in BBC Children's. I'm about to start working on something called Jojo and Gran Gran as assistant script editor. I also make short films. My last one was a spoken word dance film about the experience of being mixed race. And I just create spoken word poetry for 5 minutes, talking about my hair and how that can be used as a tool to discuss much larger concepts, like the experience of growing up with a black father and white mother and all of the complicated, confusing things that come along the ride of that.
So what did you leave the BBC for? What are you going to do now with the Beeb?
So I was in development and my contract came to an end and I was about to leave. A really crazy thing happened to me that I had like 4 job offers and had this just crazy experience of like going from not knowing what I'm going to do with my life to having way too many options about what I'm going to do with my life. But anyway, I left the BBC. I was working in development and I'm coming back to the BBC to work in production. So it's going to be a little bit of a different experience, but I've worked a little bit in production before and I really enjoy the fast paced nature of stuff like that. So yeah, I'm ready.
And Karen, who are you?
So I'm Karen Gabay. I am a TV producer. I'm a talent producer in TV and a story producer, working on music documentaries, history documentaries, sometimes a touch of royal documentaries, popular culture docs as well. And I'm also a radio presenter, worked for the BBC, presenting a weekly show for some time. And I also sometimes work for network radio, reporting and presenting specials. And I make my own films as well about...
I thought you were going to say you make your own tea.
Yeah, I do make my own tea. I make my own films about how Caribbean migrants integrated and lived and worked and enjoyed life as a community and how that linked to other migrant communities in Manchester, a story that's not often talked about. it's always talked about in like silos and, you know, the Italian, Sikh, Caribbean community all kind of lived and worked together in synergy. So I document that history.
And I've got to jump in a little bit. When you walk into the BBC and the reception, there is a giant photograph of Karen just watching you, looking down at you, making sure that you're not acting out.
Amazing. I love that.
Is this Karen? Is this in Salford? Is it Manchester?
It is. I'm illuminated.
Yeah. One of my former universities at Salford University at Media City.
Yeah, me too.
Right, Karen, you talked about documentaries, you talked about music documentaries. It's no surprise to me, Helen's nodding away, so maybe not a surprise to her that you chose Black Godfather. Can you tell us why you chose it? Maybe I've just answered it for you and all the listeners, and then give us the synopsis in 60 seconds or less.
I've chose this documentary because often in music and the arts, we only ever hear about the artist or the key player on an album or in a film. We don't hear about the person who orchestrates how those people got together and what happens behind the scenes. And the Black Godfather is surely about the most connected man in the music industry. And so that's why I chose it. And it's a joy to watch. And it's not a puff piece. We say in TV that sometimes in music, people want a puff piece. They want to come out all shiny and everything was all nice and perfect and they don't want to give you the real story, and we get the real story in this.
Okay, I'm going to get the timer out and 1 minute starts now.
So The Black Godfather is about Clarence Avant, a name that you should know but you don't know. He is linked to the careers of many famous musicians, from Snoop Dogg going back to Quincy Jones and everybody in the middle. And the people whose careers he's helped include the right-hand man of Martin Luther King, Soul Train, Barack Obama, and he talks about his life. He's now 91. So the documentary is about his life and how he moved through his career with social history as a backdrop.
Awesome. I hadn't heard of him before. Lissy, Helen, have you heard of him before?
I am ashamed to say that I hadn't. I was watching the whole film. I was like, it's incredible that I've never heard of this guy, because like I've heard of every single person around him.
I think, that's what documentaries are about, aren't they? Sometimes to know, just to learn in an entertaining way about somebody you didn't know about before. And even, you know, Amy Winehouse documentary, I knew of her. I knew her. I'd seen her live. I thought she's amazing. I had two of her albums. I have two of her albums. It's still great to see stuff uncovered, but it's like a whole new like mind scene when you don't know the person, and then you find out all the stuff is connected to it. It's really awesome in that respect sometimes.
But you know, when this documentary starts, you know, you always have your main players and your big names, don't you, in the first 60 seconds or the first 2 minutes. And they just keep coming, don't they? That's the thing that, you know, even when you watch it again, you're like, he knows so many people. And it's not just in passing. As you go through the documentary, it's not somebody, I met him once, twice, which is what people say in the industry. He played a key role in their careers or in events that they wanted to organise. And that's what's so incredible about it. You know, Quincy Jones is in there, Babyface, and the late Andre Harrell, who's behind Mary J. Blige and, you know, Uptown Records, he's in there. You know,
Bill Withers,
Kamala Harris, Rodriguez, you know, Dennis Coffey, you know, there's all these people.
Rodriguez, I mean, that Searching for Sugar Man, there's a documentary about someone you never knew before existed, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I need to know about this guy.
Right at the end, I was stunned by the end, actually, because I, like, every time I thought, okay, it's kind of wrapping up, then it would suddenly be like, and also Snoop Dogg and Jay-Z and Notorious B.I.G. and, like, you know, the big hip-hop world of the 90s. And it's just, it's just crazy how it just kept going and going and going. And then after that, I thought, okay, now it's coming to a close. And then suddenly the interviewer goes, and how was it to be the son of him? And I was like, no, they can't. I was like looking at the timer. I was like, there's 10 minutes left of the film. How can they ask such a big question right at the end of the film? There's so many points where I was like, you could make a film just off of this little segment that is part of the film.
What are your thoughts, Helen?
So I'd never heard of the documentary, and I hadn't heard of Clarence. So I was really looking forward to watching this because I've got big interest in music, and it was kind of showing like lots of so many names in this, but I struggled a little bit. And I think it was because of the documentary. I don't think the documentary really captured like Clarence, because he came across as this man who was lived like a pretty insane life, but the documentary didn't really bring him to life. Lots of people were saying how great he was and how amazing he was, but I don't think I left knowing who he was as a person, and I really wanted to get to know him more. I don't really care what Bill Clinton has to say. I wanted to hear more of Clarence. So there's loads of things I really loved, and I really, really, really like enjoyed watching all of the old Soul Train clips. Now that's a documentary I would really love to see. But I wanted to get more into Clarence, and I wanted to feel as though I knew him more. And I think it's just a fault maybe of the documentary. It just felt a little bit long, and it was a bit of a disappointment for me. But I think, Karen, you probably would have done a better job of it given your credentials. So I don't know, maybe they didn't really understand the music as much. Maybe they could have done something a bit more exciting. I don't know. And it was a bit long, which is a real shame, because I really wanted to kind of like find out more about this guy.
I think the my favorite bits were definitely when he was talking, and him and Quincy Jones were like riffing off each other. They were definitely my favorite parts of the film. But I think it's hard, and I understand what you're saying, Helen. I think there's an embarrassment of riches of people he's helped. So it's difficult not to have the documentary include as many of those famous people as possible. A to get it seen by many people, but B to kind of like say, this is someone you don't know, and he also helped them, and he also helped them as well, and from completely different genres of music from decades apart. And it's kind of insane. But I do agree with what you're saying. Maybe Karen would have made a better documentary. I'm sure she would have done. But I still enjoyed it nonetheless, because I do think there's a lot to kind of take away from it.
I think I didn't feel disappointed by it, because I think, you know, I've met people like Clarence. And the thing is that, you know, those moments in time that are documented are seismic. They are huge. You know, and I think, you know, maybe you have to be part of that culture to know that, or maybe realize that. I don't know. But, you know, the fact of him preventing Soul Train being taken off the air, can you imagine if that happened? You know, so you've got to get that in. You know, the impact of Emmett Till, I'm sure he wanted that in, because it's huge. It's still being talked about now. So
the fact that he wasn't interested, well, he was aware of the civil rights movement, but didn't get involved until Emmett Till happened.
Yeah. So I think there's elements of that. And so there's so much that you've got to get in about the impact. Then I think that's maybe why, because I know he was involved in Louis Armstrong, because before it came out, I had people badgering me about talking to him. And so I think there's still a lot left out. But the other thing I will say, I'm making documentaries, which may have been part of the problem, I don't know. I know Nelson George, so I should ask him. Nelson George is the guy who produced it. Is that sometimes you think when it's the older, the elder statesmen and stateswomen of the music industry, it's easy to get them to do the sit-down interviews that you want so you can make your documentary. It's incredibly hard. And I get even the fact that they were talking to him in the car on his way. To sit that man down and pin him down might have been a bit of a nightmare. Because
very busy, you know, man.
Yeah. And I think that even though you think he's retired, clearly hasn't. And so that's sometimes what impacts. And then, and so that might have been part of the issue, because, you know, his family were all on board. And he's definitely on board, and he's got Quincy there. But I think you can see from when you watch it, he sat down with Quincy and he sat in a car, and maybe it was problematic to get him to do much more than that. I don't know, but that's just sometimes when you're on the inside of it, you know, that sometimes that's why you're left a little bit wanting.
I agree a little bit though, with you, Helen, that like the bit where it goes into like how he was called like sweet potato all throughout his childhood. I was like, I'd love to know more about his childhood and why he was called Sweet Potato, because I feel like it just gives you a glimpse of why he is the man that he became. It's just like, there were a lot of people that kept saying, you know, he's driven by money. He likes to bring up, like, you know, you're not paying me for this. So how much are you going to pay me for this? And I just think that you have to kind of like look at his whole life and see each little factor. And I think there were other things that I think that I'd love to know more about, like, you know, his relationship with his stepfather and like the difficult like childhood that he had. And when he, you know, had to call on his friends to help him from, you know, going like bankrupt, I think those were all really interesting. And I guess the difficulty is that it's hard to find the people, especially with his childhood, to actually like comment on it. And it's even more hard to find the footage. I think the filmmakers had this wealth of material for them from the other stages of his life. And I guess he probably wanted it to be a more positive thing, that it would have been really interesting to get a little bit more from that side of him.
And his family life, I was reading up on him after, obviously, as you do, when you finish the documentary or biography, and you think, wait, what? I need to read up more on that. So his daughter's married to Ted Sarandos, who is one of the founders of Netflix, maybe not founder, but the chief executive of Netflix. So it's
wow,
like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
he's his, the head of Netflix, I think he is.
His co-chief exec at the time.
Yeah.
Makes sense how he got a film called The Black Godfather.
yeah. And his daughter was with for Barack, didn't she, as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this kind of amazingness, or I guess trend, runs in the family in some way, because that's you work for Barack and then you're high up in the media industry. You probably just rank. No, I'm not going to go down that route. But that's it's great to kind of see how that expands out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing is about his wife, Jacqueline, isn't it? It's very beautiful. She was murdered last year in the family home. And again, the amount, the outpouring of people who knew him and who knew her was just incredible, about how important they were to people's careers, but also how kind they were as people. And I think she's just a real asset to the film as well, because often you don't hear about what life was like for a couple starting out. And I felt they were very honest about that. You know, they were very, very honest about the beginnings of their marriage and their relationship. And you got that insight. And often, being frank, you know, men in the business don't have the wives in documentaries, unless it's an ex-wife who's going to have a, you know, who's kind of dragged in to give a couple of quips about something. So I thought that, there is a very interesting, very, very interesting character. And, you know, he had to keep some of it back, didn't he? Because Quincy was really kind of pushing to say, you know, yeah, he's a kind and generous man, but to be an agent and to be a manager, there's a real harshness that comes across. And, you know, you hear the word brusque a couple of times, and I would have loved to hear some of those stories apart from the Jimmy Smith story. I would have loved to hear some more about what those clashes were with people, what really went down, because he didn't seem as if he was somebody about shy about about what he had to say about a situation.
I think maybe it's missing that drama, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think with the documentary, you kind of expect some things to like shock you, or you to expect something, and then they go, but this really happened. And that was what was missing with it. Because I think the bits that stood out for me were the bits where he didn't have the success with the radio station. And I wanted to hear how he obviously bounced back from that and how that made him feel. And like the parting of him and Bill Withers, you could tell that was like a really emotional time. And I think with the kind of having all those famous people say how great and how brilliant he was, somehow it kind of like sort of glosses over how, you know, making sure that black people got paid, you know, this is like a huge thing. And it sort of felt as though it was glossed over a little bit. And some of the like the bigger moments maybe got hidden by all the famous people jumping in there. So, yeah, I just think it's a bit of a missed opportunity for telling his life for me, unfortunately.
But it's interesting that, because I think I've raised sometimes in terms of music and black music about people being reticent about talking about these things. And what I've been told, particularly in America, that if you go that far, the backlash against you is huge. And sometimes we don't kind of like really understand that, but it's incredibly, incredibly huge. And people literally get them in their acts, they get pulled from things. And so, you know, and I did a podcast about 3 years ago, and the, with a couple of key players in magazines, and like, you really don't understand what happens when people really, truly speak out. That's why, in terms of the world of music, there's a handful of black people, John Legend, Common, who speak out. The people with power and money don't. So I think that that's perhaps why you don't get that element. It might feel tame, but I know repeatedly when I challenge that, and I do documentaries, and people will tell you off the record. And I know people generally tell you off the record, but off the record stories, people are really like, this has to stay off the record. I'm not putting that on tape. I'm just not doing it. So again, I think that that's maybe why.
It's a shame, because that's how the things that happen, you know, Me Too can still prevail.
Yeah.
Because people are scared, and not just music, but across the entertainment industry and in any place where there's a massive imbalance of power or few people can dictate the success or not of other people. And yeah, I can completely agree. I would have thought there'd be so many stories that he's just not willing to or able to say, or may be uncovered once he's passed away or something like that. But first of all, and also in the documentary, I was expecting him to have died during the making of war. I didn't realize it was done. Initially, I thought it was talking about him, his life after he'd passed, not still into it. So I thought it was really good, you know, a great time to catch him, because he's still, you know, very lucid, had that banter with Quincy Jones, who's always a great person to see on TV and film and stuff like that.
You get glimpses, though, of the straight-talking businessman. There's a bit where he says someone was going to get fired, a black man was going to get fired, and so he heard about it and he went off to this room which was full of like white execs, and he just said, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this to you and that to you. And then he just like says, I wasn't going to do anything to them, you know? I just had to get them scared, like. And it gives you an idea that he probably did go in there and grind a few
some balls.
Yeah.
Is there anything else guys want to say before we head to the scores?
Yeah, the other thing that I want to say, which is important, and it also shows how ahead of his time he was, is when he's talking about Dennis Coffey. So people might not know Dennis Coffey, which they should have said was part of the Temptation sound, you know, this big like psychedelic wall of sound. And he's part of Motown. He was, you know, one of the Funk Brothers. And so he signs him, and he's an incredible musician. And then he talks about signing other white acts and Rodriguez. And that is also something that would have been incredibly brave of him to do at the time, because as he hints, you know, he's getting a backlash from the black community about why you're doing that. And then he's obviously hearing it from the other side. And he talks about Rodriguez taking 40 plus years to hit.
Mm.
And I think that that's another element of why it's important to kind of watch this documentary. Because I think, you know, you can say where you want to know more, we could all kind of push to say we want to know more about these stories, but there's nobody was doing that then. And, you know, they talk about as well the fact of the acts that he put forward as well. Like Bill Withers was not the act, as they talk about, was not the person you expect to be a huge artist. So much so, the reason why it all kind of goes quiet with Bill Withers walks away from the music industry. He says it's not for him. So he walks away. And he just never sings again until like very kind of recently. So he's got this ability to pick out talent. Look at Jammin' Lewis, Janet Jackson, you know, Prince, you know, he's linked to all those people. Yeah.
But Janet is Michael's sister. So what were the people playing at?
Yeah, but they wanted her to be, which was the whole thing, they wanted her to be this twee, because she's a little girl and she's the, you know, the baby sister. They put her in this box of, they wanted her to be a pop princess, didn't they? And that's the, you know, and Jammin' Lewis saw something different. But again, it's this whole thing about him always being ahead of the curve, you know, and he wasn't, as the kind of saying, he wasn't a young guy still at that time, but he was still ahead of the curve. So I think that's just another element of why it's important to watch. I think you go away, you know, as Lizzie was saying, that he keeps going every time you think his career's coming to an end. But every time if you do a little search on each of those acts, you'll be amazed at about how incredibly talented he was at about picking out star power.
Well, guys, let's head to the scores.
Hello, I'm Hannah Flint from the First Film Club, a film podcast series dedicated to established and emerging talent, both in front of and behind the camera, and the feature debuts that launched their careers. From the new drama Mass to the cult classic Heathers, each episode is dedicated to a film, a guest, and the behind-the-scenes stories, memories, and advice from their time on set. Find us, the First Film Club, wherever you listen to your Stripped Media podcasts. Come join the club.
So welcome to our FlixWatcher scores. The scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places. And we'll start with you, please, Karen, with your recommendability.
I'm going to say 5 because I'm all about hidden stories and people you don't know about. And when you look back through the canon of people in the world of music, the Black Godfather, Clarence Avant, is up there with the best of them. And I think we should know about him. And it's a great watch.
Lissy?
I'm going to say 4.5. I think that it's tricky because everything that I would want a little bit more of, I understand why there can't be that little bit more of. And it's just that like little feeling of like, oh, I just want like a little... And because there are so many different things, I honestly... I'd be happy if it was a TV series and I got like a good like half hour to 45 minutes just dedicated to each thing that came up, because I was like, he's in music, then he's in baseball, and then he's in like politics. And I'm like, and it's just crazy to see someone who literally just said, I'm going to do all these things, and literally did do all those things, especially a Black man in America in a time where, you know,
Emmett Till gets...
Yeah, and like he's lived through pretty huge events. Yes. It's just crazy. And anything that has like a jazz soundtrack is gonna win me in. I find it really exciting to just hear the music and to just like get that sense of what was going on in the world. I just wish that there was more on Sweet Potato.
And can I just add though, and the reason why there isn't a series, this is my bugbear, is because people always say nobody wants to know about him. That is why it's documentary on Netflix, because that will have been pitched time and time again and somebody will say nobody wants to watch more of that. Tell you that's facts.
Helen.
So this is why we should have got you, Karen, to make it. I'm so conflicted. I just think this is a wasted opportunity to really tell a story. And I would have preferred a bit more kind of like context and a bit more info about the times and a bit more background about some of the record labels and a bit more contextual settings, rather than like Bill Clinton being in there or some of the other celebs. Because I don't think I got enough from it, and I'm just like really, really frustrated. But it's a great place to start, I guess. Just wish it had been made better. So I'm going to give it a 4. Just it's quite long, and I think you should probably go into it maybe having a good sort of knowledge of Motown a little bit, and a bit of kind of like, if you have a pretty good American history of music already, then you'll probably be able to fill in some of the gaps and appreciate it a bit more. But coming in for me a bit cold, even though I know a little bit about music and kind of like Motown and a little bit like that, I still felt I just didn't get as much out of it as I probably could.
I'm going to go for 4.3. I really enjoyed it. Like, let's see, I think I would have preferred a TV series based off it. And if it's engaging, I don't mind about the length. I loved the O.J. Simpson documentary, which was like 8 hours. I loved the Last Dance about the Chicago Bulls, which is, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours. I loved the Get Back, which is 8 hours. If it's engaging, then, you know, I'm in it for the long haul. And it would have been, I think, nicer to have some of the stories expanded upon. But then, you know, not everyone's like Peter Jackson, who has the benefit of a treasure trove of the Beatles over 4 weeks. One person I'd love to see a longer documentary of is Questlove's Summer of Soul. And hopefully there's more to come out of that, because, you know, content there would be amazing. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I get some of Helen's frustrations, but at the same time, I really enjoyed it. Repeat viewing score, Karen.
The repeat viewing score, I'd say 4.2, because I get what you're saying as well, Helen. I do. It does irk me sometimes when celebs are in it just for the sake of it, but they're not in it for the sake of it. But I just think it's funny. It's amusing. Some of the little anecdotes that you get from Quincy and Clarence and the record label that he comes up with, the way he comes up with that name just makes me smile. You can always
Sussex.
I love that. You can never watch enough Soul Train, so it's really great to kind of like to see that and hear a touch of that story. So I definitely think it's something you would want to watch again, and maybe watch with different people as well, see what they get out of seeing and hearing Clarence's story.
Lissy?
I think I'm going to go for 5.
Wow.
Because when Karen was talking about it, I was thinking about like all the little things that I watched, and I thought something or I felt something, and then I moved on. And also the fact that we've been talking about just each little thing in his life, where I'm just like, there are so many things that I feel like I need to Google now. And I think, like his relationship with like Quincy Jones just reminds me of like, just like people I know in real life, just like the way, and I think it's like Jamie when he's like it's just watching two homies, like it's just the way that they like just get at each other is really nice. And then you've also got like the historical side, and I'm a big fan of Motown, and I think it's really interesting the like shift after Motown and how like it kind of was this huge thing and then it fell apart, and how do you like rebuild and what's it going to look like, and just like seeing a lot of artists kind of like rise up, I find interesting as well. But it's also the fact that there was so many things that I didn't know about, and the fact that I didn't know who he was just kept like blowing my mind, because like, I was just like, I think it is the amount of celebs that in a way grounded it for me, because I was like, okay, I understand what they're talking about. I understand who they're talking about, but just the fact that I didn't know who he was, I think there's so many things that I could go back, watch it again, either by myself or with someone else, whether they're older than me, younger than me. Like the hip hop bit was like another really big bit for me, where I just felt like I was thrown back into it, because like that was a massive part of like my teenage years, just listening to like old Biggie tracks, where it's just, there's lots of little like layers to it. It's like, to quote Shrek, it's like, it's an onion and there's lots of layers that you can peel back and get something from each time. So I think, yeah.
Helen?
Notorious documentaries that I'm trying to think if there's any that I've repeat viewed, probably maybe one or two. So I'm probably very unlikely to go back to this one, just because it's a documentary and I don't rewatch them. So 1.5.
Huh.
I just don't watch them. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Historically on FlixWatcher, documentaries do tend to get a low repeat viewing score. I'm not sure when watching again, but I'd like to see any spin-off documentaries that come
as
a result.
I'd love to see a Soul Train one. Is there a Soul Train one?
No, because the footage is very expensive. But did you know that he'd also done a Summer of Soul? And that was another key thing that I thought I need to look into. He'd done a concert as well, and there was a clip of Marvin Gaye in the documentary as well. So I'm sure that people are probably onto him about releasing the full footage of that concert as well, because you rarely see that. I've never seen that shown before.
It gave me a similar feeling watching Black Godfather to Summer of Soul, where it just felt like it was really like joyful, but also business, but also music.
Karen, small screen score.
I'd give that 5. It's you know, it's perfect to watch on the small screen, because you don't feel that you're missing anything if you're watching it on your TV or your iPad, because that's the one thing, is that there's not enough bursts of music for you to feel that you need to see that on the big screen or see these people on the big screen. So for me, perfectly happy to sit at home watching this with my popcorn or having people around, definitely, you know, to sit and watch it and reminisce about parts of the history that they remember, get the family up trying to do a Soul Train line in the front room. Works for me.
Lissy?
I'm going to go back to 4.5, but I have mixed feelings. I think that on the one hand, you could have it like a podcast and you just put it on your phone, put your headphones in, walk down the street and just like listen to it and think of what it makes you think of and like the images that pop into your head. But I also think on the other side of things that there is something about like seeing like the just the way that things were and all the like musicians performing just adds like another element to it. And I think if you can get it, if I could see it in the cinema, I would go and see it in the cinema. just because like surround sound and just like the feeling, I think when, especially when you've got like the jazzy tunes, you just need to give them the respect that they're due and just appreciate it for what it's worth. But yeah, so I think 4.5.
Helen?
So yeah, definitely a 5 for this one. Documentaries, unless they're kind of landscapey ones, don't really need to go and see in the cinema. So yeah, perfect that it's on. And it's kind of weird, like I feel that maybe I missed this one. I don't know when it came out, but it's kind of weird that Netflix haven't done more to kind of promote it. So
it's not weird. That's how Netflix works.
Yeah, it's very much word of mouth at the beginning. People were really talking about it. It was pre-lockdown, saying this is a must-see. But yeah, they didn't push it. It was a lot of people talking about it. That I think that's what brought it to most people's attention. Really, it was a bit buried.
Netflix seemed to pick one kind of show that they're going to promote the absolute hell out of and will not let you forget that it exists, whether it's a good show or a bad show. The one at the moment that I had to unfollow them on everything because I just couldn't take any more about Heartstopper. I'm not, you know, a teenager. It doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I've not heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's everywhere. But you know what's interesting with The Black Godfather? It's just really surprising that they did not trail the hell out of Jamie Foxx doing an impression of Quincy Jones. Because it's gold, isn't it?
Did he do another impression, Jamie Foxx?
The high note singer, I can't remember who it was, but it was as we're getting more into like the 80s. And yeah. I remember the song, but I can't remember the singer. So and he was doing
When I, and just a bit of insider baseball, this is by the time this episode comes out, Lissy and Karen have been on an episode talking about Baby Driver, which features Jamie Foxx. And he's always a presence, even in things like where he played Motherfucker Jones. I can't remember the name of the film now. But he always elevates it.
Yeah.
And when I first saw him in Ray, I literally gobsmacked. And
he's so good in that.
Yeah, it's one of the best. I think it's the best musical document, best musical biography I've ever seen. And then he has you know, a singing career, and I like his music, and I don't normally like male R&B, but him and John Legend are like, those guys are amazing. But this guy, he can do impressions, he's funny, he can stand up, he can do action. It's just like,
just ridiculous that they just haven't used it. It just makes no sense at all. If people just even fast forward for that bit alone, you could just have that on repeat, couldn't you?
So let's go to engagement score. Karen?
5, of course, because you just because you're taken in by what's being said to you at the time, and then you're just like hit, like, you know, straight through the eyes with the next installment in Clarence's life, or the next deal, as he likes to talk. He said he's all about the deals, the next deal that he pulls off. So I think you just default. For me, I know you might feel it's a bit long, but I was just totally engrossed in terms of what's coming next with him, and just very present in what he had to say. I think it's coming, just, you know, from the perspective of being in music, you know, think about the fact that he stayed in the business for over 7 decades, and you get that sense as you're watching it. You get the sense that the fact that he made it to being an adult was tricky anyway, because he came from poverty and, you know, and he came from small beginnings. But then the fact that he's able each decade to hit yet again is incredible.
It is kind of insane because many times if you stayed in the same industry, and many times you can tap out and say, nah, this Motown's not for me, or when Motown finishes, like Neo Soul's not for me, or whatever. But he's there. A lot of people would have tapped out at the as hip hop took yes. a hold. But it's like, nah. Yeah. A lot of people just not appreciate Janet Jackson for what she was. And I mean, Mary J. Blige, she would have transcended, I would have thought. But yeah, it's an interesting point you made there, Karen. So, Lissy, engagement score.
I think 4.7. I think that each bit itself is really engaging. I think that sometimes it just needs a bit more breathing room for you to like reflect on what you've just learned, which is why I go back to like how it'd be great if it was a TV series, because then you'd get like digestible bites that you could just kind of like ruminate on for a little bit. Yeah.
Helen.
I'm a little bit low. I'm going to go with a 4. I had to watch this in two goes because it was quite a lot to take in, and because I just needed the extra kind of context and like who were they at the time. And
was that Janet Jackson you were looking at?
No, actually, and Janet Jackson's in my note because like what a great album that was. Like she just, yeah, so great. They could have like cut the bit about Michael and just had more Janet, and I would have been a bit more happy. But yeah, Janet, like she was done dirty by the Super Bowl, different story. So yeah, I was doing a lot of research on the side while I was watching it to try and catch up with all the names that were coming at me and make sure I kind of knew who they were.
So it's like you're almost hyper engaged.
Yes, yeah, doing homework at the same time.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 5. Why not? Like I said at the start, I thought it was going to end up and Clarence Avon died and blah, blah, blah. So that was a weirdly morbid kind of thread pulling me through, but also I just again gobsmacked at the fact that this guy's had, and there will be many of these guys, you know, even through to like Warren Buffett, a lot of people don't know who he is, but he's like one of the richest people in the world, but doesn't do anything. He's not an Elon Musk type of person. There are a lot of these men and women who just are legends within their fields, but people outside their field will know literally nothing about them. That gives an overall score of 4.29375, which must be one of our highest documentaries. We can't filter on that, but it's definitely got to be up there.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad that I didn't fail you.
You introduced us to Clarence like before then, had no idea. So thank you.
Three other people. Did you know about Clarence before this, before you watched this documentary, Karen?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Insider knowledge.
Yeah.
Just, I think, as I said, about a couple of years before it's made, people started to ramp up saying, do you know about this man? You know, you need to speak to him. And I was supposed to have a conversation with him, wanted to speak to me. And then I have to say that when I saw that it was on Netflix, the documentary had already been done, I was gutted because I was going to say, I'll make a documentary about you. But hey, I'm a big Jimmy Smith fan as well. But they got there before
me.
You
could make the TV series, Karen. This could be it.
And that leaves us, like I said, 4.29375. Lissy and Karen, can you sign off by letting everyone know where we can find you online? And then we'll say goodbye to all the listeners.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Lissy Shoots, and my website is lissysimpson.co.uk.
You can find me at Kazkabay, K-A-Z, Kazkabay, on Instagram and Twitter. And my website is karengabay.co.uk, Soul of Manchester. You can find me there, and you can find me on BBC Sounds. And if you search for The People, you'll find my radio show there as well. Lots of great music people from the world of arts and social affairs issues on there. And just to quickly say, some people who've been on, Prince's engineer, Peggy McCreary, Ashanti's coming up, The Ashanti. So, yeah.
Check out BBC Sounds. Thank you very much, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk about Clarence Avant under your guise there, Karen.
Thanks for coming on. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K, Wood Audio. Tell him Flixwatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.